You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Cuba made progress on education. Yes, I think. Really? Really?
Yes,
literacy programs
no
are bad. What Barack Obama said they made great progress on education and health care. That was Barack Obama. America has overthrown governments all over the world when dictatorships, whether it is the Chinese or the Cubans, do something good. You acknowledge that.
So there you have it. Bernie Sanders doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on his praise for Fidel Castro and Cuba. That is what you heard in the debate last night. When he started talking about what great things Fidel has done. Boo-hoo, boo. He said, really? Really? And yet, despite all of that, it appears that Bernie probably comes away the winner from last night's debate. We're going to take a lot closer look at all of this. I mean, who do you think won, lost, even held even? We'll also be joined by John LeBoutier, of course, a former U.S. congressman, Republican, Reaganite, as he likes to call himself. And he often brings a different perspective than Trump supporters. So I want to hear his take on the debate from last night. This South Carolina debate was critical for some of the candidates because Bernie had all the momentum going in. He was rolling in with the support out of the last two caucuses and looking good and strong, and the previous debate as well. And this, of course, happening just days before the South Carolina primary. And we're moving closer to next week's Super Tuesday. Bernie, if he's not stopped by Super Tuesday, turn out the lights, the party's over for the Democrats. And many of them are getting more and more concerned about that. By the way, one of the things that Bernie continues to point out, talking about Democrat socialist, which is his veiled word for communism, socialism, communism. Yeah, the C exists inside socialism, but it's after the word, so what? You know, so socialism. Denmark is often held up as a Democrat socialist country. Is it? What's it like to live, to work, to survive in Denmark? And does Denmark think of itself as a Democrat socialist country? We'll break that down for you as we move into it later in the next 2 hours. Last night, one of the things that did happen, the moderators were under attack. I mean, it's never easy for a moderator to handle a group like this. And the more you have on stage, the tougher it is because they all want to talk. Me, 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 choose me, choose me, raising their hand and everything. And then talking over each other. I'm not going to praise the moderators directly, but I'm going to acknowledge it's difficult. If you've ever stood in front of a bunch of kids trying to get their attention, just be quiet for one moment. Good luck with that. That's pretty much what they were facing. That are a bunch of wild, crazed animals. We're going to get into that over the next 2 hours. And in the meantime, a network newsman is caught by Project Veritas telling the truth. Telling the truth about his network and how it looks away from facts and details that might support a Trump administration. He's telling the truth. Didn't know he was being recorded. And when that Project Veritas video and audio got out, he got a summons. Come down to the office. We want to talk to you. And now he's being punished. I want to take a closer look at that because it's clearly replicated everywhere in all the networks. How are they going to punish everybody at one time? On the coronavirus concerns around the world, we are now seeing coronavirus in every continent except Antarctica. And Dr. Chelsea Clinton, oh, you didn't know she's a doctor? Well, she's talking as if she was, and that she were, and that the U.S. is not ready because of Donald Trump. Dr. Chelsea Clinton. Well, we're going to have some fun on that. And yet, also bring you up to speed on the reality of coronavirus. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Cuba made progress on education. Yes, I think. Really? Really?
Really? All right, here we go again. Let's break down last night's debate. Of course, Bernie Sanders coming out of this debate last night. And after the debate performance in Las Vegas, is still looking strong and solid. But on that particular thing, when he started talking about the things Cuba has done and praising Fidel Castro, and you heard the audience start booing. Now, keep in mind, the passes for those attending are given to the various candidates that they can populate the audience with supporters. Now, whether or not some of the supporters or one of the other candidates decided to do that, or just someone in general in the audience. Either way, pollster Frank Luntz, in watching it, said Bernie was clearly rattled when they began to push back. He said that the discord and Sanders' obvious irritation was a secret recipe for other Democrat presidential candidates. As he stood there and said, really? Really? And Luntz is saying it was clear that Sanders was angry. And he said again, just as I alluded to, maybe in the audience were some of the supporters for the other candidates, and they were told to challenge Bernie whenever you can. You got to do something to knock him out, to at least take him down a couple of notches. That's the opinion of Frank Luntz, a political analyst. Now, Marianne Marsh, another analyst studying all of this, a Democrat political analyst, said they basically in this Democrat debate, she saw three winners and four losers in a two-hour street fight. She also said The only way to secure or to view this final debate before the South Carolina primary Saturday and Super Tuesday, March 3rd, is whether it changed the race for the Democrat presidential nomination. And here is the key point. She said it did not. It did not. It didn't change anything. It did not affect the race last night. It didn't change anything for Sanders. Made another good night for him. Even though we're pushed back on his issues about Cuba, it did not propel Senator Elizabeth Warren to the top. Didn't really help Biden in any way. And the other candidates did not do well, including Mayor Michael Bloomberg. So Marianne Marsh is saying, you got three winners and four losers. The winners being Sanders, Warren's, and maybe Biden in there, but nothing in there is really changing the trajectory of where we're going. But of course, for Bernie, he believes he has hit on something and he continues to pound it and push it, and he even starts alluding to support from Obama in his remarks. Here's Bernie Sanders from last night.
The economy is doing really great for people like Mr. Bloomberg and other billionaires. For the ordinary American, things are not so good. Last year, real wage increases for the average worker were less than 1%. Half of our people are living paycheck to paycheck. That is not an economy that's working for the American people.
That is, again, Bernie's attitude. The economy is not working. And, you know, I know there are people living paycheck to paycheck. Yes, we have homeless. But the question has been asked since 1980 as a standard polling question now. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And in the latest survey, 61% say yes. Plus, in the next 4 years, they expect their personal and the national conditions to improve. And yet here's Bernie up there saying, the economy is not working. If it is the money, stupid, the economy is working. The hits the Dow is taking right now are not due to any economic issues, no tariff issues, nothing the president's done, nor anyone else. It's the fear of coronavirus and how it is affecting the worldwide market, not just the U.S. But the market itself is alive and pushing forward. More jobs. Higher paying jobs. Black unemployment, the lowest in history. And yet he would have you believe is not working. And again, Bernie is pushing to look at Cuba. Look at Cuba. Look what Cuba's done. I'm telling you, this guy, somewhere along the line, someone's going to grab him up and say, Bernie, get off that train. But he was on it last night.
Cuba made progress on education. Yes, I think. Really? Really?
Yes,
literacy
because
programs
no
are bad. What Barack Obama
Barack
said
Obama
is they made great progress on education and health care. That was Barack Obama. America has overthrown governments all over the world. When dictatorships, whether it is the Chinese or the Cubans, do something good, you acknowledge that.
You acknowledge that. And he threw in the Obama thing. I want to break that down for you in just a moment, but let me go first to an analyst, a CNN analyst, Van Jones, who had served as an advisor to Obama. When he sees Bernie Sanders making those remarks, pushing Cuba, and also pulling Obama's name into it, he's not happy.
I was disappointed with Bernie's answer on the socialism question. He had to know that was coming. There's no reason to do a big retrospective nostalgia scream fest about authoritarian regimes from the 70s. It was an opportunity for Bernie to clarify the American people that when he says democratic socialism, that's the point. It's not that stuff from Cuba. It's not that stuff from the Soviet Union. It's the stuff that you see in Northern Europe that's working well for normal people.
And when he starts talking about Northern Europe, he's also talking about countries like Denmark, which we're going to deal with in detail in just a moment. But the reference to Obama, here's what Obama said in March 2016. He did visit Cuba at that point. He called the country's education system, quote, an extraordinary resource, a system of education that values every boy and every girl. That's Obama speaking about it in 2016. He went on to say, look, you've made great progress in educating young people. Every child in Cuba gets a basic education. That's a huge improvement from where it was. He goes on to talk about the life expectancy of Cubans is equivalent to the U.S., despite it being a very poor country, because they have access to health care. That's a huge achievement. They should be congratulated. But you drive around Havana, and this economy is not working. It looks like it did in the 1950s. And that is the key point. Obama, yes, did offer praise to Cuba on those points. But he also acknowledged, not going to give him credit for it, you drive around Havana, the economy is not working. It looks like it did in the 1950s. So when Van Jones and others talk about Sanders should be looking at Northern Europe, countries like that, for instance, the Netherlands, Denmark. Many times, a country like that is held out as an example of democrat socialism, which is good. At least that's what they want you to believe. And in fact, in 2015, during the Democrat primary debate with Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders at that point said, I think we should look to countries like Denmark, like Sweden and Norway, and learn from what they've accomplished for their working people. Well, let's look at that in quick appraisal. The Danish government is listed as a parliamentary democracy. It has a queen. We don't have a queen. We have a president elected. Question. Is college free in Denmark? That's what Bernie says we should have. Yes, higher education in Denmark is free for all bachelor's and master's students coming from the area and Switzerland, as well as students in an exchange program. You can also study for free in Denmark. What about health care? Free? Yes, Denmark provides free health care to all residents funded through taxes. Oh, yeah, somebody's got to pay for it. The health care is free, but you have to pay taxes. And they estimate Denmark's health costs per person, public and private, at the last check here, was, this seems to be 10 years ago, was $3,500. I'm sure it's more than that. And Denmark does have an income tax. It tops out at 55.8%. 55.8%. The average individual in Denmark pays 45% in taxes. There's an 8% Danish labor market contribution, a 5% health care tax, 22 to almost 30% municipal taxes, Social Security taxes that amount to, by their standards, about $164 a year. Capital gains taxes of 27% or up to 42%. Does that really sound free? The average minimum wage for all public and private sector collective bargaining agreements, $20 an hour. Oh, good, we like that. But did I just tell you how much you're taxed? Homelessness in Denmark? Yes, they have it. They're a country of 5.8 million. And they have estimated 15,000 to 20,000 homeless in Denmark, despite everything free. And Bernie says that's what we should look at. And he doesn't want to. He doesn't want communism attached to his name too much. He backs away every time you try to shove that in his face. He says, I have a Democrat socialist like Denmark, Sweden, and Norway with a Danish prime minister at a speech at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government said, I'd like to make one thing clear. Denmark is far from a socialist planned economy. Denmark is a market economy. Which, my friend, comes down to saying capitalist. They have a queen, they have a different rules, regs, parliamentary, so forth and so on. They offer the higher education for free. They offer free health care. And yet it ain't free, as I just detailed for you. And the taxes, your progressive income tax, 55.8% topping out. The individual average pays 45% tax. And here's Bernie still pushing Fidel Castro and all of his good and saying we want to be more like Denmark. Really? It sounds to me like we're closer without all their taxes. And the Democrats are getting more and more worried about Bernie. And they have reason to. Wait to hear what I tell you in the next segment.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Heat Back Production.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Before we wrap up this hour, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar was asked to list how she would describe herself. Not one time did she list herself as an American. What she did list is appalling. That's coming up before we wrap up this hour. So Bernie Sanders continues to cause troubles and concerns among the Democrats. There's an internal poll from the Mike Bloomberg campaign. This is the Bloomberg campaign, an internal poll that says Bernie Sanders' nomination could drag down vulnerable House Democrats trying to hold on to their competitive districts. In other words, Bernie Sanders, by himself, could cost the Democrats the House of Representatives control. That means Nancy Pelosi would not be there as Speaker. Listen, if I've got a chance to vote in a Democrat primary, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to vote for Bernie. Let him tear him down. And in fact, last night at the debate, I want to let you hear this clip. This is from Bloomberg, Tom Steyer, Pete Buttigieg, with a warning if we continue on the track with Bernie.
If you keep on going, we will elect Bernie. Bernie will lose to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump and the House and the Senate and some of the state houses will all go red.
If we cannot pull this party together, if we go to one of those extremes, we take a terrible risk of reelecting Donald Trump.
Not only is this a way to get Donald Trump reelected, we got a House to worry about. We got a Senate to worry about.
And I love it. They know how important controlling the House is. And the Senate, they'd like to get control. That's not going to happen. If they don't get the White House, if they don't get the Senate, if they don't get the House itself, they can't bring impeachment against Trump again, don't you know? You know who Shark Tank panelist O'Leary is? Kevin O'Leary is one of the panelists, kind of the gruff curmudgeon on Shark Tank. Well, he was appearing on The View. Let me correct this. Is it, yes, Kevin O'Leary was on it. And he was having a conversation with Mark Cuban come to. But I'm looking at what Sanders had to say, O'Leary, I said, about Castro. Let me get it straight here. I want to make sure I quote the right person. O'Leary, it said, I'm not pro or con anybody. I'm an investor. I have to think about policy. And I think the chance that Bernie is going to turn this country into a communist country is zero. That's what I think. It sounds pretty crazy what I listened to on 60 Minutes. He was right off the deep end. He said, there's zero chance that Sanders wins, but if he did, he would turn us into a communist country. Or at least he would start the building blocks. That's Kevin O'Leary from the Shark Tank. Politics aside, he said, I'm looking at the economy, and you don't want it. John Lebouthier, coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Oh, that's a good piece. I think it's Steel Drivers introducing our guest, John Lebouthier, former U.S. Congressman, author of the book Harvard Hates America, describes himself as a Reagan Republican, not so much a Trumper. John, welcome aboard again.
Hello, Larry. No, I am not a Trumper, and I'm happy to say I'm not.
Well, you jumped on that in a hurry, didn't you?
Well, when you say not so much a Trumper, I don't want any ambiguity.
Oh, okay.
I don't dig Trump. He's not a conservative, and I don't think it's a good program. So,
All right. So, let me get your take first upon the Democrat debate last night. Anyone on there you like over Trump, first of all, and then how you thought the debate went?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, they're supposed to be focusing on beating Trump. That's what the Democrat Party and voters want, how to beat Trump. Now, whoever thought the way to beat Trump is to defend the record of Fidel Castro? This is just insanity. And if the Democrats end up nominating that guy, they're going to get what they deserve. They've got to wake up. It's still February. There's still time for them to adjust themselves and say, hey, wait a second. We can't go down that road of a guy who's going to defend socialism. We want to have a debate over whether we want to have socialism when the debate is whether you want to keep Trump or not. That's the debate.
So the debate in Nevada was the first time Bloomberg was on the stage, and they went after him best they could. And then, as I'd predicted going to the debate last night, and I'm sure you had the same thought, that okay, they've already taken the shots at Bloomberg, no personality, nothing there anyway, and they've got to bring do something to bring Biden down because
not Biden,
they're fearful.
Sanders.
They're fearful.
Not Biden, Sanders.
Yeah, yeah. Sanders.
You said bring Biden.
Yeah, you're
down.
Right, you're not right. Sanders. I was absolutely wrong. Biden is not an issue yeah. either. You're right. Sanders.
All right. So I think coming out of last night, now that debate was in Charleston, obviously, because we have the South Carolina primary this Saturday. I think the winner in South Carolina of that debate was Joe Biden. I don't know about the rest of the country, but number one, he has to win Saturday to stay in this race and have any hope of surviving. And I think he probably will win Saturday because I think he did pretty well in that debate last night. I think we're going to find that the guy over on the far right on the TV, Tom Steyer, will disappear this last 3 days, and his percentage of the black vote on Saturday, which I think will shrink as some of those voters will go back to Biden. And my guess is Biden wins by 5 or 6 or 8 points or something on Saturday.
There had been reports of Bloomberg. There had been reports Bloomberg was cutting into the black vote in South Carolina.
He's not on the ballot in South Carolina.
No, I know, but so, I mean that he could end up pulling from it anyway, that it would go, like you
well,
said,
where
Steyer.
Are they going to vote?
Well, and that it could go to Steyer, but you're suggesting Steyer's not going to do that anyway. He's not going to be
there. Steyer, leading up to this past week, Steyer was in third place in overall in South Carolina. It was Biden first, Bernie second, and Steyer of all people, because he's been advertising for months down there, Larry, while the other candidates have been off in Iowa, New Hampshire, and Nevada. But Steyer focused on South Carolina, pumped in tens of millions of bucks worth of TV ads, and got himself up to like 15% and was in third place. But my gut tells me that that's because of the ads. Now that everybody's down there, now that Congressman Clyburn today recommended and endorsed Biden, I think that some of that vote will come back to Biden. I'm just guessing that Biden will survive through Saturday night and go into next Tuesday still alive as they search for somebody to be an alternative to Bernie Sanders.
Before you joined us, I ran a clip of both Bloomberg, Bloomberg, Buttigieg, and Steyer, all saying that we cannot have Sanders leading this party, that we also have not just the presidency at stake, but the Senate and the House. And an internal poll, apparently from Bloomberg, says that Bernie is going to cost the Democrats the House of Representatives.
Well, I mean, you have to suspect it. I saw James Carville on some show talk about Florida. They'll lose Florida if he's at the top of the ticket because of his comments about Castro and socialism and what all those Hispanic voters in Florida would do. They would not vote for a guy that's pro-Fidel Castro. And Pennsylvania, you know, he's against fracking, which has worked well and given a lot of jobs in the western half of Pennsylvania. Bernie wants to get rid of fracking. Carville said bye-bye Pennsylvania. So how do you get to 270 electoral votes if you're giving up right from the get-go Pennsylvania and Florida? Where do you win?
If Bernie comes, well, let me ask it this way. If he comes out of Super Tuesday still standing where he is now, is it his to go all the way?
Not necessarily. I would say he will be the leader in the delegate hunt all the way. But he will have a little trouble and maybe a lot of trouble getting to the magic number of 1,991 delegates. That's his problem. He has to have 1,991 and have them on the first ballot at the convention to win the nomination.
Otherwise, we go to brokered convention.
But they call it that, but what it really is, you go to a second ballot. Yeah, and the brokering, you know, there's no one to do the brokering except the candidates themselves. And on the second ballot, under the rules of this Democratic Party this year, the superdelegates can now vote if they can't on the first ballot. That was something that Bernie got changed. And the superdelegates are party officials, congressmen, governors, you know.
Established.
And they don't want Bernie Sanders. So they would go with someone else on the second ballot. We don't know who. Maybe Biden, maybe Bloomberg. We don't know. But they all are going to be scared to death, I think, of what you just read. Polling that shows you put Bernie at the top of the ticket, you're not going to pick up the Senate, and you may lose the House and the White House.
Who could Bernie put on his ticket that would sway them to stand by him?
Well, I urge you to get yesterday's New York Times column by Tom Friedman, Thomas Friedman. Very good piece about Bernie or Bloomberg, either one. And I don't think Bloomberg is going to win the nomination, but it's not impossible. Who knows? With all that money, maybe he could get it on the second, third, or tenth ballot at the convention. But no matter what it is, they need a ticket announced when they finally pick all of it, like a team of rivals, like what Abe Lincoln did, where all the guys that ran against him for the Republican nomination all ended up in his cabinet. And they were a unified party because of it. And that's what Tom Friedman wrote. He said they should pick, let's say Bernie is the nominee. He should pick Klobuchar as his running mate. He should pick Joe Biden as his Secretary of State, Pete Buttigieg as Homeland Security, Kamala Harris as Attorney General. In other words, take all these people who ran and pledge at the convention, this is the government I will lead. I'm announcing it to you now so you know what you're having in the election, who you're going to vote for. And I when I read that, I thought, you know, that's pretty powerful. And it might go a long way to assuaging fears about Bernie Sanders. I don't think he'll do it. I think he's a stubborn old guy. I don't think he'll do it. But you never know.
I did not see that article. I'm glad you called my attention to it. But I did have that same concept put in front of me the other night. I think I had mentioned to you that I've been watching the West Wing. I'd never got to see it when it originally ran, so I've been going through it. And just last night or the night before, the Luma McGarry, who is the Democrat vice presidential nominee, drops dead on election night while the polls are still open. And they were trying to decide, how are we going to handle this? What do we say? And then who do we now present as a vice president? They brought up the Lincoln issue, as you just said. Start saying, all right, here's our cabinet, and go with this and see if that won't carry the two states. California and Alaska and Hawaii were still open, I think, something like that. But it is an interesting concept.
Well, it is, and you may need something like that, especially to somewhat calm people down about Bernie Sanders. I just don't know where Bernie Sanders' head's at, and we don't know where he'll be by the time. Like, if he doesn't win this thing in the primaries and he gets to the convention, then all sorts of stuff like that will be proposed. Now, Larry, you and I are old enough to remember 1980. It's not that long ago. It's 40 years ago. But Reagan gets out to Detroit, and he's won the nomination, but he hasn't picked a running mate. And everybody's urging him to pick George H.W. Bush, who he had defeated for the nomination. Right. He didn't like Bush, and he didn't want to pick him. And he tried to pick Paul Laxalt, senator from Nevada and his best friend in politics. And his staff said, no, you can't do that. You can't have two neighboring governors
all right.
California.
And John, I'm going to have to let it go there. We're coming up on a hard break, but I'm glad, I'm glad you brought that back to mind, too. Well, again, we've got many more chapters of this story yet to go, and we appreciate your time, sir.
I love being with you, Larry, and I'll talk to you, I hope, next week.
Very good.
Super Tuesday.
You bet. Okay. We definitely will. John LaBoutière. We'll take a break when we come back. The congresswoman who lists everything about herself except being an American.
There is superstition.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is facing some challenges as she runs to keep her office in Minnesota. She has, let me count them again, she has, I think, three Republicans running against her. At least five Republicans, three Democrats challenging her for the party's primary election August 11. And then they will move to the general election, and before they get there, there are five Republicans trying for her seat as well. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, Minnesota, decided to list herself on her tweet machine as to who she is. And it stated, Ilhan Omar, I am hijabi, Muslim, black, foreign-born, refugee, Somali. There's no reference anywhere there to being an American. Not one. And hijabi, from what I can tell, I'm not claiming to be an expert on the Muslim religion or researching it, but from what I've seen, the hijabi might refer to a woman who wears a hijab, but I don't know if it's actually, quote, a person, or maybe she's trying to show that I wear hijab and keep the law, I guess. I don't know, but that's what she wrote. And then she added, after hijabi, Muslim, black, foreign-born, refugee, Somali, easily triggering conservatives, right-wing bloggers, anti-Muslim bigots, tinfoil conspiracy theorists, birthers, pay me to bash Muslim fraudsters, preoccupation groups, and every xenophobe since 2016. Just like that. And ended it with a laughing face. Senator Ted Cruz took note of this, and he said, in today's leftist world of intersectionality, American is deemed embarrassing and gauche. It's a word you don't hear that often. Gauche. One of those challenging Omar is the Republican Dalia al-Akidi, a former Iraqi refugee who hopes to replace Omar and representing Minnesota's 5th Congressional District. And she said, here's why I'm running for Congress. Her hashtag, I am an American. Just like that. She goes on to say in an interview, as an American citizen, my duty is to defend my country. My duty is to stand up to her hatred and racism, talking about Omar, that she's spreading within her community, within the country, and even worldwide. Ilhan Omar is harming every American with her hatred, her standing against what we believe in, and against our own Constitution. Now, al-Akidi, like Omar, came to the U.S. with her family, fleeing a nation ravaged by war. But she no longer considers herself a refugee. She said, I came to the U.S. more than 25 years ago. So basically, I'm not a refugee anymore. I'm not an Iraqi anymore. I'm an American. Period. But Omar wants you to believe that she is anything but an American. With some of the other response coming in from those who saw the tweets. One saying, I don't see you identify yourself as a U.S. citizen. You should not be in Congress. Another one saying, not surprising that you didn't identify at all as American. I have no problem with any of the above, the listing I just ran through for you. Except that you were elected by Americans to serve Americans. Thank goodness you don't purport to represent me. Another one said, there's a lot about you. Can we talk about our state of Minnesota and what we're working on here? I'm really tired of how much we focus and you focus on you. This is, again, part of the AOC crowd, the squad. They're all up for re-election. I hope every one of them gets defeated. I don't think any other Democrat replacing them would be as bad as what we're seeing from them. Not just in their attitude, the policies, but the fact that they're denouncing America and Americans on a continuous basis, mocking us. Or as Senator Ted Cruz said, making it appear to be an American is embarrassing. And so gauche. We all have our alliances, God, country, family. And I understand if she wants to put her religion ahead of country, but she didn't even bother listing American. Next hour, complaints about how the debate went down last night, particularly going after the moderators, and one news correspondent speaks out about his network and is now being punished. And a story of a tragedy that just will break your heart. And it's taken another tragic twist. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.